follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you realize that what you say is not always as important as how you say it? Can you get up in front of any audience at any time and be dynamic? Welcome to Communication Nation with your host, Jill Schiffelbein. Today, we'll demonstrate how small changes in communication behaviors can have a big impact on a business's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Jill Schiffelbein.
Hello, everyone. It is July 2nd, 2013, and you are listening to Communication Nation with your host, the impromptu guru, Jill Schiffelbein. And today's show is going to be a fantastic one because I have a guest calling in from Ohio who is going to talk to us all about communication and influence. And when we think about influence, a lot of us may feel a little bit creepy, right? We think, well, yeah, we want to influence people, but a lot of us have had some not so fun experiences with people trying to influence us. Let's think of some common examples, right? And I feel bad because these guys get a bad rap and, you know, there are some good ones out there, but, you know, the used car salesman, right? The stereotypical used car salesman is trying to influence you and persuade you and sometimes push you into buying a car, and you just feel a little slimy when you leave that place. Well, our guest today, Brian Ahern, is one of less than three dozen certified trainers around the entire world in a specific method of influence called the Cialdini method. And he is going to tell us all about influence. But what's neat about his approach and what I love about this methodology is it's about how you use influence ethically. So very different from the slimy, creepy feeling you may have when you walk away, when you feel like someone was trying to pressure you into something. We're going to talk about ways in this episode about how to apply influence ethically to any situation that you may have. And what's great about this is, yes, the things that you're going to learn today and the things we're going to talk about in the show will directly have an impact on the bottom line of your business, of your organization, of your team, whatever goal you're trying to accomplish. But what is fantastic, in my opinion, is all of the information and the science and the study and the presentation of ethical influence can apply directly to your personal life as well. And so people who are using influence in an ethical way will see gains both personally and professionally. So you're getting kind of a double hit today on Communication Nation, getting a lot of takeaways that are going to be about how to use influence and how to communicate influentially and help people move to act in a way that's a win-win for all parties involved. So that's a little bit of an overview of what we're going to talk about in the show today. But I'm going to rewind just a little bit, and I'd like to give all of you some context about how I know people. And I want to give you a story about Brian. Brian Ahern is someone I met, a little over a year ago. And I met him because one of my clients is a business called Influence at Work. And this is a company who is founded based on the research of Dr. Robert Cialdini. And you may have heard his name before. He's really influential, really famous in the fields of influence, social influence, persuasion, etc. His book has sold millions of copies across the world, been translated into dozens of languages. And in order to be certified to teach this method, you have to go through a rigorous training process, intensive, 4 days hands-on. You have to pass written tests, oral tests, and then a live audit of your presentation before you're even allowed to present the material. And I worked with this company to help them create an online product that they could use instead of just having a face-to-face workshop. And when I was doing that, I was training a lot of their Child Eating Method Certified Trainers, or CMCTs, in the art and the skills of teaching online through a webinar. And because Brian is one of their top CMCTs, he was one of the people that got selected for this training. And so I got to work with him. And getting to know him through that, getting to know his style of communication, the way he likes to teach about influence, and the way that he practices what he preaches within his own life and within state auto insurance, where he actually practices this. So he works there and is a certified trainer as well. It's really interesting to see how these things come together. So I asked Brian to come on the show today because I think influence is an incredibly important topic. And I think it's really important for entrepreneurs, for small business owners, for managers to really understand, because if you understand the science of how to apply influence, and again, with an ethical focus, you are going to be more successful, and your company, your organization, your team, your goals are going to be met with less resistance because you're presenting things in a way that can be win-win situations for all involved. And so that's a little context of how I met Brian and how I brought him into the fold here on Communication Nation. And you know me, I can talk about influence. I can talk about how to communicate persuasively. In fact, I did an episode last month on persuasive communication. But what is so fascinating to me about the way that Dr. Cialdini and then his certified trainers, Brian Ahern being one of the very few of them, teach the subject, it's not only with the ethical focus, but it brings the science into it as well. And they encourage you in their teaching to think outside the box, to think of how you can create situations for yourself, for your business partners, for your existing clients, for potential clients, and really understand how to use principles of influence that are scientifically shown to have positive effects in an ethical way. And so that is going to be the bulk of our show today. And I really hope you enjoy it because there is so much you can learn about this topic. And I'm going to go ahead and promote some of Brian's stuff before I get him on with us right now because it is some really interesting material. He has both a blog and a YouTube site, and he does a lot of public speaking. In fact, we were just talking before I started the show, and he said that he just did a keynote a few days ago and it was in front of a large audience and he really felt good about it. And so if you want to see some videos of Brian speaking, you can go to youtube.com and his handle is Influence People Brian. And in fact, his blog is also that too, .blogspot.com. So if you want to find out more, subscribe to the RSS feeds of the videos, of the blogs. This guy sends out some fantastic articles, some fantastic tips that give you immediate food for thought in your business. So again, if you look up Influence People Brian on Google, you'll see all of this stuff come up in that first page. He's out there. He knows what he's talking about. And we're so lucky to have him with us today. So without further ado, welcome Brian to Communication Nation.
Thanks, Jill. I appreciate the offer to be here, especially when I get to talk about something I'm so passionate about.
Yeah, and you know, we've known each other for a little over a year now, Brian. And I know that, you know, aside from your expertise in the field of influence, that you're one of those people, and this is just another personal testimonial of you, that you're a hard worker. If you want to learn something, you're going to put your mind to it. You're going to follow through with it. When you were studying this webinar stuff, I gave you advice and you took it and you ran with it and became one of the top-notch presenters in that area. And so having that work ethic and having the expertise of influence and a passion for it, I think is really exciting.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I think having grown up playing sports and realizing that you were only going to perform well on game day if you practiced and you would play only as well as you practiced, I just took that concept, I guess, and applied it to what I do at work. And when it comes to things like when you had given me that advice about a year ago, I actually would drive in the car and practice when I was working out by myself. When I wasn't actually lifting, I was practicing. And the same thing with my presentation the other day. I would close the door, and for 45 minutes to an hour for daily for weeks on end, I would practice my presentations because I want people to understand this material, and I don't want anything to detract from it. I want them to be able to receive it in a way where they can say, that was a great presentation, and that material was really interesting. You know, if you don't have both, people are going to walk away and not probably remember too much.
And it's so true. And, you know, we're talking about influence today as a topic, but something, you know, that you just said, and I love it from the sports background. I know we have that in common, but practicing. If a coach tells you something, you practice it and you do it. And it's just like when you're listening to a show and you have an expert coming on and talking to you about, like today, influence, it would greatly benefit people to apply that same type of practice methodology.
Exactly. And I think it is hard for sometimes for people to receive that as we move away from most people participate in some type of sport when they're younger and we're used to coaching. But once you get away from that, you don't get as much feedback, coaching feedback. A lot of times what you get is criticism. And so I think people forget how to take that feedback and actually weave it into what they do and look for tangible ways to see whether or not they're improving. And as I mentioned to you when we were talking offline, my wife attends all of my presentations, and she can therefore tell me what she's seen from the very first time I've gotten on stage to what I do now. And when she can clearly tell me, hey, I saw you did this differently, and I know that's what I worked on, it's just confirmation that practice makes perfect.
It absolutely is. And when it comes to practice, it's obviously a lot easier to practice something that you're passionate about. So before, you know, we're going to go to break here in just a minute, but before we do, I want you to tell our audience today why you're so passionate about the field of influence.
Okay. Well, I always like to start when I ask, or when I'm presenting to an audience, and I like to ask the question, how many of you would agree with the following statement? Much of your professional success and personal happiness depends on getting others to say yes to you. And virtually every hand will go up. I think people recognize that if they're going to succeed in business or whatever their profession may be, they can't do it all alone. They have to have other people because they don't have all the time, resources, talents, etc. So they need other people. And when you ask that question, they start to nod and they think and they clearly recognize that in order to accomplish their goals, they need other people on board. And that starts with getting them to say yes. On the personal side, having raised a teenage daughter who's 17 and a half right now, I can testify that when she willingly says yes to me, everything is much calmer and peaceful in the house. When my wife willingly goes along with what I ask of her, and she would say the same thing because she understands this stuff a lot from having heard me talk about it for years, that if I willingly say yes, everything is much nicer. And it really comes down to how we say it, how we make that request. And two people can want the same thing, make the request in different ways, and one person can consistently hear yes and another one hears no. And you can imagine if you're hearing no, you're probably frustrated at home or not having the kind of success that you want at work. So I think this is a vital skill that permeates your personal life as well as your professional life.
Well said. I like how it permeates. I love that word. That's really tangible there. And when we come back into our next segment, we are going to dive in with Brian to some of the ideas behind influence. And he's going to give us some advice, some tips for how to use influence ethically. And we're going to talk about his role in terms of how he incorporates influence in his day-to-day life and his job. So if you're tuning in today or you're listening to this recording and you like this topic or want to give us feedback, shout us out at Twitter at Impromptu Guru or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/impromptuguru. We'll be right back on Communication Nation.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business.
get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
Calling all CFOs, finance, and risk professionals. Your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
Welcome back, everyone, to Communication Nation. Your host, Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru here. And we are joined today by special guest Brian Ahern, who is an expert at influence. And if you want to find out more about Brian while you're listening or after the fact, if you Google influence people Brian, you'll see some videos, you'll see his blog, and subscribe to it. You get some really good tips, really good information. And especially I like how he approaches things from experience in so many ways. And as we left off last segment, we were talking about his experience and his passion for the subject of influence, especially as it pertains not only to business life, but also family life. And Brian, before we go into more of the business side of things, do you have any really good examples of influence when your teenage daughter, a lot of people I'm sure have teenage daughters out there, you know, how you got her to willingly say yes?
One that really stands out, I guess, in terms of seeing a behavioral change that I was really hoping for when she would get to high school, peer pressure. And that's something that every parent worries about. You know, will their kids make good decisions in the moment, or will they be swayed by the crowd? And that's a principle of influence that we call consensus. But it's, you know, what is the crowd doing? And we all know, having been teenagers and then maybe looking at our kids, that the pull of the crowd and what the other kids are doing is incredibly powerful. And so when I was thinking about her going from a very small Christian school when she was younger, she graduated with 12 kids from eighth grade into the huge public high school, 1,500 kids. And they lived somewhat a sheltered life, I'd say, in the small school. But knowing she was going to go there, she was going to be exposed to all kinds of things that she had never really been exposed to before, I thought about, how can I help her? Well, I observed a character trait in her, and that she was okay a lot of times not participating with her three best girlfriends. So she played volleyball with them, but when it came time to play basketball, she didn't want to do it. When it came time to be a cheerleader, that wasn't what she wanted to do. When they decided to be in the school play, she didn't want to be on stage. She chose to do something with the lights. But I observed this behavior where she was okay saying no to her best friends. And so thinking about what was coming ahead with high school, I told her one day, I said, you know, Abigail, I said, if you can say no to your best friends when they want to do things that I think you know would be fun, but you just don't really want to do them, when you get to high school, I think it's going to be very easy for you to say no to kids that you may not know very well, especially when they're asking you to do things that you clearly know are wrong. And she really took that as some self-identity. In fact, sometime down the road, a year or two later, she had come back from a youth group, and she said, unprompted to my wife and I, she said, you know, I realize I'm independent, but I have to be careful that I don't become stubborn. She was so comfortable saying no that she recognized that there could be times she was perceived as stubborn. But as parents, that gave us great comfort, knowing that we could extend opportunities to her and didn't have to worry about the choices that she was going to be making. But we as parents had to do some things to help her recognize who she was and what those traits were. And so far, going into her senior year, it's worked out amazingly well.
That's, you know, and I think every parent who has a teenager coming up the line, you're wondering that. And I think it's important, something that you said in that story was that you identified certain traits in her. And when you're thinking about using influence, you know, I've seen it used unethically in many situations where people, they don't see it as identifying traits in people. They look for weak points that they can exploit. One of the things about the way you practice influence and you teach influence is influence with an ethical focus. And can you talk to us about that and maybe some misperceptions that when you say, hey, I teach influence, that people have?
Sure. First of all, everybody is influencing and persuading all the time. I like to tell people that it's one of the first skills that people learn. Now, they may not really know that they're learning it, but as soon as you come out of the womb and you get that pat on the bottom and you get your first breath, you start crying. And babies will cry because they want somebody to do something for them. Again, they can't consciously think that through, but they know that they need to have their diaper changed or be burped or they're hungry, and they want somebody to do something. Then as we get older, we continue that. We see it very clearly with our kids. They want something, and they find ways of trying to get to it. Some people learn how to go about that in socially acceptable ways. Some people don't. But we all have to recognize that we are all persuading all the time. So we shouldn't feel bad then if we learn how to do it better. There's a quote from a book called The Art of Woo, which stands for Winning Others Over. That's a wonderful quote that goes to the heart of this. And the quote goes like this: an earnest and sincere lover buys flowers and candy for the object of his affections. So does the cad, who only seeks to take advantage of another person. But when the cad succeeds, we don't blame the flowers and the candy. We rightly question his character. Flowers and candy are neither good nor bad. How we use them reveals something about us. But flowers can be used on wonderful occasions, like when I asked my wife to marry her, I gave her 24 roses. Last year, when a friend passed away and we saw flowers, it did not evoke the same feeling. The flowers are neither good nor bad. They're neutral. How we're using them, really, again, it reveals something about our character. And so I try to get people to recognize that, because when we talk about what we call the principles of influence, the psychological triggers that make it easier for someone to say yes, we shouldn't feel bad that we're learning how to use that. We should feel good about that, especially if we know that we're people of good character. We're just going to be more effective in getting things accomplished at work, or maybe having our kids do the things that they need to at home so that we can enjoy that professional success and the personal happiness.
You know, and I'll just put this out here right now. You know, I am a fan of flowers. So if any listener is looking for a way to make this impromptu guru happy, but I see what you mean. And I think that's a really good point, Brian, because the thing is not the issue. It's the intent behind the thing that
exactly
becomes the real, you know, take home point here, because, you know, many people, you get flowers after someone did something bad. Well, those aren't exactly the flowers you want. Yeah, the flowers are nice and all, but I would rather have had nothing bad happen and just kept going, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, I like the intent behind it. And intention is so important. And one of the things that you said that I want to expand on a little more is you're talking about how if you're using influence in an ethical way, if your intentions behind it are right, it will not only help you be more successful, but also the people around you as well.
Exactly. So when we know that our children should eat right because it's going to promote healthy living, when we know that they should be doing their homework, these are things that they may not want to do, but we do know from experience that if they do those things, in the long term, they'll be healthier and happier. And so we want to try to persuade them. It makes for a much nicer household when you can have a conversation with them to get them to buy in and do it, rather than just putting your foot down and saying, you better do it or else. And the same thing can happen at work. how we choose to interact with people. But we don't have to resort to manipulation, you know, lying to people or anything like that to get them to do what we want. If we really understand all of these principles, if we're taking time to get to know the people that we're interacting with, that we're looking for the traits like you said earlier, and then we are ethically applying what we know and understand to have a better conversation, to win somebody over, to have them do what we want them to do.
And when it comes down to the ways that we, you know, and I don't want to say win people over, but when it comes down to the ways where you can influence in a way that's a win-win situation for all parties involved. One of the things that I know you train people on are what you call the 6 principles of influence. And I know we're not going to even have remotely enough time to go into them, and nor do I want to get into details. But just to give our audience some of the ideas behind what you teach and what they could, you know, find posts about on your blog and on your YouTube site, could you tell us, you know, the 6 principles and, you know, in a nutshell, what they do?
Sure. Okay. The first one that we talk about a lot is the principle of reciprocity, and that is that people feel obligated to give back to those who have first given to them. So if I do something for you, Jill, you probably feel like you should do something in return for me. We look for ways to ethically engage that. I want to help the people that I work with or that are customers of my company or my family. I genuinely want them to be better, and so I look for ways to help them. I recognize that when I do that, if I do need a favor, now I've got many other people that I can fall back on and ask, and they will willingly want to help me. So that's the first principle. The next principle is the principle of liking. It's easier for people to say yes to those that they know and like. And so we want to try to form relationships with people so that they like us. That makes it easier. But the real key in this one, Jill, is that if you sense that I like you, you're probably very open to what I may ask of you. And so in this process of maybe trying to connect with you and get you to like me, what happens is I come to like you. And when people sense that, everything changes. We also have the principle of authority. This principle tells us that when people aren't really sure what to do, they look to those with superior knowledge and expertise. You know, it's if somebody tells you what to do with their taxes, you might listen, you might not, but if they're a CPA, you probably take that advice to heart and go look at your taxes and do something. So anytime we can bring, whether it's our own personal authority or outside authority, into the equation, it makes it easier for someone to say yes. The next principle that we talk about, which I mentioned earlier, is consensus. When our kids are younger, we call it peer pressure. But the bottom line with this principle is human beings tend to look to others when they are trying to ascertain what's the right behavior in a situation. So kids, when kids are growing up, the reason peer pressure is so strong is because they're going through things that really the only other people going through them are kids. And they tend to look at how are those other kids acting. And if kids don't have parents that are really engaging them and helping them to make good decisions, they're left to their own. And so you can imagine why so many mistakes are made. But we tend to look to other people when we're trying to figure out what's the right behavior to do.
You know, and when it comes to this, idea of consensus, and you brought it up earlier, it's really powerful because if people, you know, if you're looking in one direction and you're starting to walk, let's say north, but you see a herd of people running south, you're probably going to turn and run.
Exactly. And many of these principles, they have started as long as human beings have been alive. And many of them actually have a survival component to it. You know, way, way back, if you saw everybody running in the opposite direction, you probably didn't want to stop and ask why. You probably understood danger. I better get with the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that hasn't left us. We may not face the same things, but that mentality hasn't left us. Now that we're in a different type of society where we don't necessarily face some of those challenges, we as individuals need to recognize when perhaps a principle is being unethically used on us, but we also need to recognize, well, how can we harness this natural tendency in a way that's going to be beneficial for that other person, not just for me, but for both of us, in a way that is above board and non-manipulative.
And that's a really good point. And we're going to go into break here in just a second, and we'll get to those other two principles. But you are tuned into Communication Nation with special guest and expert at influence, Brian Ahern. If you're listening, tweet us out at Impromptu Guru. We will be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
We spend 70% of our week in the office. What is the difference between enjoying your job and enduring it? The number one motivator is a positive work environment. And that's where Real Recognition Radio comes in. Join your hosts, Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown, as they take a look at the positive factors of the workplace, such as employee rewards, recognition, incentives, and much more. Tune in to Real Recognition Radio, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
Welcome back, everyone, to Communication Nation, and we are in the middle of an in-depth discussion about influence, how we communicate, how we use influence, and Brian Ahern, our special guest and expert at influence. You can find him at Influence People Brian. If you Google that, you'll find all of his stuff. He's talking to us about six principles of influence, and we've talked about reciprocity, liking, authority, and consensus. And Brian, if you could finish us off with those other two, I know we're dying to hear them.
The next principle that we talk about is called the principle of consistency. Now, this isn't about your personal consistency, because when you're trying to influence somebody else, you're looking to them. And so what we want to recognize is, when it comes to this principle, people feel internal and external pressure to be consistent in what they say and what they do. And I'll bet every listener out there right now can think of a time where they gave their word to somebody that they would be at some type of function. Could have been a wedding, it could have been a baptism, a graduation, a bar mitzvah, it could be some significant event. They were going to be there, and then they couldn't make it for some reason. And it might have been a very legitimate reason. But I'll bet almost every one of those people felt a little bit bad. That's consistency working on us. We don't like to feel bad, and so we work pretty hard to try to live up to our obligations. So I always tell people with this principle, just if you want to remember it, just think of word and deed. People like to have their words and deeds match. And when you are trying to influence another person, you look for ways to ethically tap into that. If you can tap into what somebody has said in the past, what they've done, what you know they believe, the values that they hold, it makes it easier for them to go along with what you're asking.
And listeners on this show have heard me say a number of times, it's, you know, right along these lines with consistency, you need to make your actions and your words synonymous. Because if you are in a situation where someone is acting one way, but they never verbally support those actions, you can only go along with it some, you know, for so long. Some people are okay with follow the leader without having any verbal communication behind it, but other people struggle a little more. So it's putting your actions out there, and actions do speak louder than words, but then following it up with other forms of communication that match up.
Yep. Well, and when it comes to consistency, I said that it's not about our personal consistency. Our personal consistency does have an impact when it comes to persuading other people. If I always do what I say I'm going to do, people come to rely on me. That actually adds to my authority. And so my acting consistent and doing all of those things, people will come to rely on me. It makes it easier for them to believe me and to do what I'm asking. So there's certainly a place for that. But a lot of times people get that mixed up and they start thinking about, I'll influence this person with consistency, and they start referring to themselves. When we talk about influencing other people, we're always talking about them and how can we change their behavior. The last principle that we talk about is the principle of scarcity. And this principle tells us that people value things more when they're rare or diminishing, when they think that they're going away. And we all see this probably every single week multiple times. The classic example is sale ends Sunday. When we know that a sale ends on Sunday, many of us, we will get off the couch and go to the store just to see if there maybe is a really good deal. And then a lot of times we end up buying something because we want to justify the fact that we took the time and effort to go to the store. But the whole thing that triggered it was knowing that there was a sale going on, and if I didn't get there by a certain day, I would lose that opportunity. And this is an important one, this principle, because it's very motivating. People don't like to lose out on opportunities, freedoms, all kinds of things. And it's amazing how often behavior will change when something's always been available and all of a sudden it's going to go away, and now people are beginning to do it in droves. And the one that comes to mind for me is not too long ago when the Concorde stopped making its transatlantic flight. It was selling out all of its last flights. If it had sold out all its flights all along, they never would have stopped flying. But people didn't really care to fly the Concorde until they realized they might not ever get that chance again. And then they all started changing their behavior.
You know, and it's what's interesting to me about these six principles, and I'm going to recap them for everyone: reciprocity, liking, authority, consensus, consistency, and scarcity, is that a lot of these, and you said it before, go back to kind of the roots of human behavior and science about how people behave.
Exactly. I like to tell people when I'm teaching that I'm really not going to say something that you probably don't know already, because when I start to talk in depth about any one of these principles, somebody can almost always say, wow, I remember a time when that worked on me, or wow, I didn't realize what I was doing, but that's exactly what I did with this person. And it should make sense to us because we're human beings and we're just talking about human psychology and what causes people to say yes and behave in certain ways.
And when you utilize these principles and you start to think about them, you know, as you said, we've experienced these things, but we haven't had a name to put to it. And then we also haven't gotten the knowledge about these principles to be able to apply them in our businesses in a way that is ethical and effective. And when we talked before, Brian, you were telling me about this $700,000 mistake where you applied some of these principles of influence at the company that you worked for. Would you share that with us?
Sure. Several years ago, I came back from an extended Christmas break, and immediately I was called into a room with six or seven other people. And here's the problem that we faced. My company had overpaid insurance agents in one of our operating states in the month of December. We accidentally had doubled their commission for the month of December, so it was a $700,000 overpayment. And our charge was to figure out how can we get that money back as quickly as possible, because when you get towards the end of January, beginning of February, if agencies have met certain criteria, they may earn contingency bonuses, and so you need to have that money in the bank. So with this large error, we as a group decided on a plan of attack, and one of the components was going to be a letter would have to go out from the home office accounting manager to every one of the 150 agents that were impacted, and it would would have to ask them to please sit down and write us a check as quickly as possible. So imagine you're in an office 500 miles away, and you get a letter from the home office and the accounting guy who you've never met before, and he's saying, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Agent, please sit down and write us a check for $4,000, $8,000, $10,000 as soon as possible because we overpaid you last month." It's probably not the highest priority on your list. Well, the good news for the accounting folks was I had done some training for them the summer before, and I had shared with them an interesting study where some social psychologists were trying to impact people's response rates to surveys. So they were having to send out a piece of paper and get people to do something. So it had perfect applicability to what we were doing. So in this study, the social scientist sent this survey to a third of the people and just had a cover letter that explained what the survey was, why they wanted them to take it, and exact instructions. 36% of the people who received that letter took the survey. Then with another group, they sent the exact same cover letter, but this time there was one small change. The cover letter was signed personally by somebody saying something like, "Thanks for helping out, Brian." So survey response went from 36% to 48%. 48% of the people, just because of a little handwritten note, took the survey.
That's huge.
In business terms, yeah, that's a 33% increase for doing nothing more than taking a little time to write a note. But not satisfied with that, they tried one more thing. They sent out the same cover letter with the same handwritten note, but this time it was on a yellow sticky note. And 75% of those people completed the survey. So more than twice as many people who just got the standard cover letter. And the interesting thing is, probably no person would have said, "Oh, I took the survey because there was a sticky note." Audiences, when I share this, always agree that more people will take the survey, but no one will own up to say, "Well, I did it because of the sticky note." But that just shows how powerful it works in the subconscious. Because you can't explain away a doubling. Because they also did another study independently to try to mirror the results. And in that second study, again, the sticky note with a handwritten signature on it doubled the response rate. So that was the backdrop to what I had shared with them. So here we are, perfect opportunity to apply this because we're going to have to send out 150 letters and ask these agents to do something they probably aren't real happy about having to do. So I told my contact, "Steve, you remember the study?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "If you can't find the time to sign every one of those and put a sticky note, call me. I'll come do it." He said, "Nope, I'll do it." About 2 weeks later, I called him up and I said, "How's the collection going?" And his exact words, Jill, were, "I'm floored." And I said, "Really, why?" And he said, "We've already gotten money back from 130 of the 150 agents." Now, I said, "Do you mean they didn't all send it back?" And he laughed at me. He goes, "Come on, we're talking about money." He said, "Some people have spent it. I expected some to say, 'It's your mistake, you fix it,' or take it out of next month's commission, set up a payment plan." He goes, "I expected anything other than sitting down and writing a check in full." He goes, "I'm floored." 2 months later, when we had lunch, I said, "How did it end up?" And he said, "We ended up getting money back in full from 147 of the 150 agents. So I always tell people, my job, I'm not a social scientist. I really enjoy studying this stuff because I see how it can help professionally and personally. But my job is to say, how can I take this concept of this neat idea with a sticky note and apply it to the real world to get a tangible business benefit? And that was one of the best stories that we ever had because so much money was on the line and we needed to get it back quickly, and we did.
It's an incredible story. And, you know, what I like about it, and it makes me think of a previous episode on this show. I think it was back in April, we did an episode on, you know, communication, social media, websites. And in that, we got on a conversation about how, you know, Marshall McLuhan, bring him back up, you know, the medium is the message. And that extra effort, that extra time, that extra personal touch that you put into writing a sticky note and then owning up to what happened is really powerful when it comes to influencing people to say, "Yes, I'll give that money back."
It's a great story, especially because most of the audiences that I talk to our business people. When I talked to the other day to that group of about 200 people, they gasped when they heard how quickly we got it back. I mean, they really understood how powerful that was, because they too laughed at my naivety when I said, you mean we didn't get it all back? Because I was projecting onto these agents what I would do. If somebody told me I owed them money, I'd look for any way to put it in the mail as soon as possible. But my home office accounting guy, he has seen the opposite in people. And so he got a good chuckle out of it.
You know, and it's a really good story. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back from break. You're tuned into Communication Nation with the impromptu guru, Jill Schiffelbein, and special guest, a master of influence, Brian Ahern. We will be right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the impromptu guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
Social media is growing at an astounding rate. In just virtually 5 short years, we have seen YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter take the world by storm. How do you effectively make social media work for you? Tune in to The Social Universe with host Kurt Wilhelm. We'll show you how to market your business or yourself to get ahead, especially in unstable economic times. We'll also discuss practices that you can apply to increase visibility and revenue as you unlock the mysteries of the social universe. The Social Universe is broadcast live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
Welcome back, everyone. You are tuned into Communication Nation with your host, Jill Schiffelbein, and special guest today, an expert master of influence, Brian Ahern, who's calling us in from Ohio. And we just heard a fascinating and quite impressive, in my opinion, story from Brian about how simple principles of influence can be used to really make big change. And Brian, while we were on break, we were talking about, you know, what and just how powerful these principles are. And so tell us, what's one of the most powerful things about influence that you want people to know?
Well, Jill, I was at the Ohio State University last year in the fall. One of the professors there who had an association with Dr. Cialdini invited me to come speak to a couple dozen of his graduate students. So here's all these young folks who are studying to get their master's degree in psychology. Many will go on to get doctorates. And what was striking to me was how these folks who are immersed in this really didn't understand how it applies in the real world. They were very, very skeptical. Now, I was there talking to them as a business person with a sales background, and I could tell immediately from the questions that were coming that there was complete skepticism. You know, the thoughts of, well, this person's only going to do something for me, reciprocity, so I'll do something for them. That's the only reason that they're being helpful. Or the only reason this person's being nice and trying to become my friend is because they want me to do something. And so one of the students said, as far as the principle of liking, they asked a question. They go, what if you hate the person that you're working with? And I said, you know what? That's a strong word, and I can honestly tell you I don't hate anybody that I work with. And he goes, okay. He goes, what if you really dislike them? I said, I can honestly tell you I don't really dislike anybody that I work with, because what I have learned over time is that when I seek to use the principle of liking and try to strike up a relationship with somebody. If I'm trying to find things that we have in common and talk about them because I know that will make that person tend to like me a little bit more, what happens in the midst of it is I come to like them. When I find out that they cheer for the same football team, when I find out maybe that they went to the same college or that they grew up in the same hometown, any of those things, right away, I tend to like them a little bit more. So this isn't just about me trying to get someone to like me. This is about me also coming to like them. And so I always tell people that when you're trying to engage this principle, this is going to lead to a tremendous amount of personal satisfaction for you, because it is really nice to walk in the door of where you work every day and you can say, you know what, I really like the people that I work with. And it's not because they're so radically different than people who work in one building over or for a different company. It's because I'm choosing to look for things that I can connect on. I'm choosing then to continue to talk about those because I know they're important to that person, or they make them feel good, but we both benefit. And even if I never need a favor from that person, it's nice to know that I can call them friend. And I think that's one of the most powerful takeaways. This stuff is not just about getting people to do things for you. It's about having relationship with people, obtaining satisfaction from around those you work with, the clients that you deal with, the vendors that you might have. All of those relationships can be much, much better if we just take the time to try to connect with people and understand that we're going to come to like them in the midst of it as well.
And it's amazing, you know, when you surround yourself. I mean, people talk about how in the workplace, in the home, being happy, having that work-life balance, all of those things become a lot easier when you surround yourself by people you like.
Absolutely. And then the nice thing is, we can probably come to like almost anybody, and even somebody that I might say, you know, I don't want to hang out with them on the weekend, but if I like them a little more than I did a year ago or a month ago, my life's a little better, and it's probably a little better for them. And when people struggle with difficult people, sometimes you just need to give yourself a break, because if they're difficult for you, they're probably difficult for other people too. But if you can break through that, and things can change, that can be so satisfying on a number of levels.
And what's interesting about not just this principle of liking, right, and the satisfaction that you can get from it, but if you're using any of these principles that we've talked about, I mean, you gave us six really good ones. If you're using any of them ethically, it's amazing the positive changes that you can see in your personal and professional lives.
Absolutely. Social media, I think, is so good for this, because social media allows a lot of sharing. So it's an opportunity to engage reciprocity. I spend a lot of time scanning through things. When I see something that I believe my friend John Millen can benefit from, I will send him an email. Hey, John, I saw this and thought you'd like it. Or my friend Jim Dooley, or any number of people. And I'm not sending that with this expectation of pulling a lever in one day and saying, hey, John or Jim, can you do something for me? But I know that when I do need some assistance, those are some guys that I'll turn to, because I know that they also appreciate what I've done for them. So as an example, my friend Jim, he writes a blog on storytelling. I was scanning through Flipboard, and I saw something on storytelling, and I sent it over to him. I said, hey, Jim, I thought you'd like this. And he replied back to me, and he said, thanks for thinking of me. And I replied back and said, Jim, I think about you more than you realize, which was true, because there's sometimes I read something and go, I don't think Jim would really like this, so I don't send it to him, but I'm thinking about him. But he really appreciated the thoughtfulness of what I did. Sometime later, I needed some help, and he was the first guy that came to mind, because he's so creative. And when I went down and said, Jim, here's the opportunity I have, and I'd love it if you could give me some time, and his words were, I'm honored. I mean, I wouldn't have got that kind of response if I hadn't been engaging him, thinking of him, trying to give to him, trying to help him. But here is somebody who so wants to help me now, because I've been thinking of them and helping him.
You know, and when you have these, you know, it's all about building up relationships. And there's a number of shows that I've talked about the importance of relationships and building it up. And now, not only have you built up a relationship successfully, but you've used these principles of influence to further the relationship that you already have established.
Exactly. Jim appreciates what I'm doing and probably thinks of me more now and goes out of his way to send things or do things for me. We both end up benefiting from it.
It's nice. And again, I said it in the beginning, you know, using influence ethically, it really creates this win-win situation for both people. It's how can we both benefit? How can, you know, I scratch your back and you scratch mine? It's really a simple concept, but yet a lot of people don't practice it.
Yeah, unfortunately they don't, because too often we're just thinking about ourselves. I mean, just picture people who go to networking events, and a lot of times they're thinking about, well, who in here can help me? They're not thinking about, you know, I've got certain talents and things that I can share with people and be beneficial, but it's when we get that inward focus, whether it's a networking meeting or whether it's our family. I mean, if all I'm doing is thinking about me and my needs, my wife's not going to be real happy. My daughter won't be real happy. But when I do simple things, like when they go out of town, sometimes I'll do something for my wife, like stop at the store and pick up something at Bed Bath & Beyond, or my daughter, I'll take her car out and fill up the gas tank. It's unbelievable how much they appreciate that. And it's all prompted because I love them and I want them to be happy. But then I've heard my wife say to my daughter, hey, Abigail, let's do something for Dad. He's done so many nice things for us. And everybody's winning. The whole relationship, the family is just so much nicer because of that.
On that note, you know, you transition me greatly into what I want to talk about as we're wrapping up the show. But before I do my wrap up and give our audience some takeaways, I want to know, is there anything else that you want to say to our listeners today about influence and what you do?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I appreciate you having me on the show, Jill. I'm honored to get to be here and do this. This is something that I love to do and love to talk about. And I would just encourage folks, if they're finding this interesting, go take a look at my blog. Go take a look at the YouTube site, and you'll continue to learn about this, because as we opened up with, this is a skill that you're going to be using every single day in all the relationships that you have, professionally and personally. And by learning just a little bit and continuing to apply, you can enjoy a lot more success at work and a lot more happiness at home. And it's a good feeling to know that I can help people do that.
I love your attitude about this. I love the way you teach about it, and I admire your passion for it. So thank you so much, Brian, for coming
on
the show today. And as we start to wrap up the show, the last couple minutes that we have together, I want to do, of course, the famous takeaway of the day and what I challenge you to do. So my challenge today is going to revolve around the 6 principles. And I know we went over them pretty quickly, but if you want more information, Brian's blog, again, if you Google Influence People Brian, you'll find a lot of great information. If you go look at that, you'll understand things more. Start thinking about how you can use any of those principles. Just look at one of them: reciprocity, liking, authority, consensus, consistency, scarcity. Look at one of them and think, how can I use this idea of influence in a way that will make a better work environment for me and another person, whether it's a client, whether it's a colleague, whether it's a manager, a superior, a subordinate, whatever it may be. Just pick one of those principles and start learning more about it. If you do, I guarantee you, and I know Brian will guarantee you too, it will make a positive change. And ultimately, those small changes can really affect your bottom line, which is what this show is all about. And before we close, I want to say one thing. I've talked about it a couple of times before, but I want to make sure you all know about it. One of the last things that Brian brought up was this idea of networking. When you're going into these networking events, and it's the attitude, it's, wow, I wonder what people can buy my services, instead of, I wonder how I can use what I have to help other people get ahead further in their business. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure you have a solid networking pitch and prepared for when you're going into these events. And most of us don't have that. We may have a pitch that revolves around giving some basic information. Hi, my name is Jill. My company is Impromptu Guru. I help people speak well and master communication in any form. And I have a radio show, blah, blah, blah. That's just fine. Not many people are going to remember that. But I have created a kit called Polish Your Pitch, which will help you reinvent the way you network, reinvent the way you talk to others about yourself. And what's great is you can use the principles that Brian talked about today to make your pitch even better. So if you haven't checked that out, do so. It's on my website at impromptuguru.com/polishyourpitch. That's impromptuguru.com/polishyourpitch. And it's one of those things that having a well-oiled pitch, if you will, prepared when you go into any type of networking opportunity can really help. And it will really help you if you can add some of these principles of influence into that pitch as well. So you're doing it in a way that's ethical and effective.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Communication Nation. As always, I'll be back with you next Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Until then, speak well.
Please join your host, Jill Schiffelbein, again next Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, because communication matters.